Let me just hit this. All right, guys, you are in the right place this evening to hear the call with Dean. Dean, I've been calling you the endurance machine to everyone because that's what you are. And I'm just going to give you a brief introduction here. Dean has basically here's the list of his accomplishments with endurance running. He ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without stopping. He ran the North Face Endurance 50, which was when he did 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 different states, consecutive days, that is, too. It's one day after the other. He did the inaugural South Pole Marathon in running shoes. He did 148 miles in 24 hours on a treadmill, and he single-handedly completed the 199-mile Providian Saturn Relay six times. You know, he did the 100-mile one-day buck holder at the Western States Endurance Run. And so basically he's a complete machine, and I'm sure he's done some other races since those two. Dean, you done any other races since those that have been pretty long endurance events like that?
I've been getting after it. Yeah, haven't stopped since some of the things you read about. Yeah, I last year I ran across the five great deserts of the world. So I ran across the Atacama Desert in Chile, the Gobi Desert in Central Asia, Death Valley here in North America, the Sahara Desert down in Africa, and then the final desert was Antarctica, which people don't realize is actually a desert, just a cold desert, but it's the largest desert on Earth.
Which one was the hardest?
You know, I would say that the Atacama Desert was definitely the most challenging in that it was at elevation, so it's a high desert. It was on a plateau around 7,000 feet above sea level, and it was getting up into the low hundreds during the day, and then it was below freezing at night. So just the temperature extreme.
Oh, wow.
So intense. Yeah, it was definitely a challenging one.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty impressive. So how'd you get started with doing this endurance ultra events, running, all that good stuff?
You know, I like to say it started with bad tequila. And that's the truth. I was literally in a bar on my 30th birthday, you know, doing what you do on your 30th birthday, and I hadn't run in about a decade, and I just that night, you know, I said to my friends about 11 o'clock at night, you know what, I'm going to leave the bar and I'm going to go run 30 miles to celebrate my 30th birthday and kind of reclaim my life, you know, reclaim my health. And they said, God, you're drunk. And I said, yeah, I am drunk, but I'm still going to do it. So I just walked out of the bar and started running. And, you know, 8 hours later, I had actually made it 30 miles. It wasn't pretty. There was some chafing and some blistering involved. But I made it 30 miles that night, and it kind of changed the course of my life.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. So what is a typical training week like for you then?
You know, I like to get up early in the morning. I like to get up around 3:30, you know, 3:30, and I like to try to get in, you know, a marathon maybe in the morning before I always fix breakfast and take the kids to school. So I like to come home every day I'm not traveling and fix breakfast for them, get them off to school, and then kind of go to my office. I've got a home office, which is nice. And hopefully in the afternoon, get a, you know, like a tempo run in, maybe an hour tempo run, and then go pick them up from school and just come home and do the homework. So the mileage, I would say, varies radically, you know, from 50 miles a week sometimes to 250-mile weeks as far as road running. I also cross-train a whole lot on the bike, which I think really helps with injury prevention, you know, having strong quadriceps. So I do a lot of cross-training as well.
That's good stuff, yeah. All right, and so out of all the races you've done and events that you've done all over the place, what's been your favorite?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've literally raced on every continent. In fact, at the end of last year, I raced on seven continents in 7 weeks. So in a seven-week period, I'd been on every continent and done a race. But, you know, still my favorite race ever was, I've got to say, it was running a 10K. With my daughter on her 10th birthday, and nothing will ever trump that. I mean, people say, God, you've run hundreds of miles at a time, you know, what's your favorite? And I always come back to that one race. I'll never forget watching an old girl run a 10K. It was something that's burned in my heart forever, etched in my heart.
Good deal. So when you're doing these events, I mean, obviously they're very time consuming, and same with your training and everything like that. And you're burning a lot of calories. So what do you eat? And like when you're training, what do you eat? Like when you're running, how do you handle all that?
Well, you know, I like to, you know, follow what I call a Neanderthal man diet. So when I'm just, you know, in training mode, when I'm not actually out there running or riding, I pretty much only eat foods that are unprocessed and are organic and are, you know, pretty much the same foods Neanderthal man had access to. So, you know, no refined grains, no breads. I don't eat pasta or anything like that. I try to eat a lot of wild Pacific salmon. I live on salmon, and I think the omega-3 fatty acids are really healthy. And then, you know, when I'm out there hammering, I like Cytomax. I really like Cytomax as far as an energy replacement beverage and electrolyte replacement. And I eat a lot of Cliff Shots and the Shot Blocks as well, so kind of finger foods. And those are for runs that are, you know, 3 to 4 hours. If I go longer than that, if I'm going out for, you know, 10, 12, 14-hour run or an event, I'll definitely have solid food just because you just need something behind you. You can only eat so many, you know, goo packs and energy bars, and pretty soon you need something solid.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Good deal. And so what drives you? What is your why behind doing these events and all these long-distance endurance events?
Well, you know, you mentioned one of my sponsors, the North Face, and they have this this wonderful slogan, never stop exploring. And I think when you distill it all down, I mean, I love to compete. You know, I love the just the spirit of competition. But I think more, I like the spirit of exploring the limit. So just seeing how far the human body can go, really, you know, testing and expanding the limits of human endurance. It's just a passion of mine, and I think that passion is what fuels me. And I think that's why I've been able to keep it up for so many years and do so many things. Is that, you know, I'm fueled more by my own heart, by my own passion, and I just try to do the best that I can. In every training event as well as every racing event, and I don't suffer burnout. Like, I mean, I've trained with guys that are incredible racers, you know, and they live by their heart rate monitor, and you know, they live by the clock essentially, and you know, they typically burn out, and I've been able to keep that passion, that fire alive for, you know, for over a decade.
Yeah. How old are you right now? You don't mind me asking.
I'm 44.
All right, so for the past 14 years, you've been doing these ultra events then?
Yeah, I sure have.
Good deal, good deal. And the fire is still there for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, it's burning brighter than ever. Yeah, I mean, I've been able to, you know, with the events and with, you know, the help of some sponsors and, you know, I was fortunate enough to write a couple best-selling books. You know, I've been able to make a living doing it. So I took a leave of absence from my day job. I took a 5-week leave of absence, and that was 3 years ago. And they keep calling me at the office, like, "Hey, you know, your computer's still here. When are you coming back?" And I tell them, "Stop calling me. You know, if I don't have to go back to a day job, I won't." So it's been a pretty good ride.
Good deal. And Dean, where can people get your books?
Well, you know, they're pretty widely available. I mean, Amazon, certainly, any of the big booksellers, the Barnes & Nobles, the Borders of the world, as well as, you know, most local independent booksellers carry my books.
Awesome, awesome. All right, do you play any mental games with yourself when you're out there running? Because I do know some runners, and they actually will do, they do marathons and longer runs, and they'll actually count every step per every mile. I don't know how they do it, but like, and I've heard other people playing kind of mental games like that. So I was just wondering if you do any kind of mental games with yourself like that, or what you think about when you're out there for a long time.
Well, you know, I try to be in the moment more than anything else, and especially when, you know, I'm running a marathon, for instance, or further, and you know, when you hit the proverbial wall and you just feel like you just can't go on. a lot of times what we're doing is we're watching the mile markers or we're looking at our clock and we're counting down or looking at what's left. And sometimes it's just overwhelming and it's deflating. It really demoralizes you. So I just try to be present and be in the moment and just really savor every footstep. Just do my best with every footstep, enjoy the experience, kind of immerse myself in it, but don't get ahead of myself. And if that's a mental game, then that's a mental game. But I just literally just take baby steps. And, you know, people say, how did you run 50 marathons in 50 consecutive days? A marathon a day. And I say, very easy. You do it one step at a time.
Yeah. Awesome. That's cool. All right. So what's been your most entertaining story that you've had while you've been out there running or memorable story?
Oh, I've got a lot of them, but I think the one I'll never live down is I was on a long run one time in the middle of the night, and I didn't have access to any food. I mean, I was kind of out in this backcountry road, but I always have my cell phone and my credit card. So I called this pizza joint, and I had him deliver a pizza to me out on the road as I was running, and I think that I'll never live that story down.
That's good. Would you tell him to meet you at an intersection or something?
Yeah, I told him, you know, my coordinates and where I'd be in about 20 minutes, and they showed up with this piping hot pizza.
Good deal.
It was a beautiful thing, yeah.
Do you do it a lot? Do that a lot?
I do now, yeah. It's become kind of a stable, and I've got some tips for the listeners. One, Hawaiian style. The pepperoni pizza is too spicy. So get the Hawaiian-style pizza, and you ask them not to slice it, and you get the thin crust, and then you roll it into this big burrito, and you just mow it on the run. It's so good.
Good deal, man. All right. That's good. And when you were talking about when you're running across those deserts and everything like that. So were you camping out at night for those?
Yeah, these are actually pretty competitive events. It's called the Desert Series, and they're self-supported 250-kilometer races where you basically get about 3 liters of water a day, and other than that, you've got to carry everything you need. So, yeah, you're out in the desert. I mean, you're racing head-to-head against guys, and you see them in camp at night because they give you tents at night to sleep in, but pretty much all the food, all the equipment, everything you need, your medical supplies, you got to carry in a backpack. Which, you know, is a really brutal element because you're out there running in the desert, sometimes in, you know, knee-deep soft sand, and you're having to carry 20 to 30 pounds on your back as you're doing this.
Yeah. So what'd you pack for you? What'd you put in your backpack?
Well, you know, you try to go as light as you can, and I was pretty much eating, you know, dehydrated food, so food that you'd rehydrate at night. Mm-hmm. But, people carry different things. I mean, the Italians, I'll never forget, the Italian special ops guys are really strong runners, and they literally, all they eat for 6 days is these test tubes, these little vials of olive oil. They literally subsist on 2,000 calories a day of olive oil for 6 days, just because it's so light.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. All right.
Yeah.
So what are your future races that you have in the decks here?
I think my next thing is going to be 50 states, 50 couches, 50 beers.
For real?
Yeah, that sounds like a good one, doesn't it? Good,
yeah,
endurance.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, I've got a whole lot of things I'm planning. And, one coming up in May, I'm going to run a race here. I live in San Francisco. I'm going to run a race called the Beta Breakers, and it's a 12K run, so a long one. But I'm going to cross the finish line and keep heading south and run from San Francisco down to L.A. To get there for the L.A. Marathon. And then I'm going to run the L.A. Marathon and keep going south after I cross the finish line and run down to San Diego to run the Rock and Roll Marathon. So that's about a 500-mile trek and all, and that should be fun.
So how long is that going to take you running between those cities?
I haven't done all the math, but I'll probably average like 60 to 70 miles a day on the way down. So, probably be about a 10 or 11 day trip in total.
All right. And you find 60 to 70 miles a day, is that pretty easy for you now?
I don't think it's easy. it's definitely challenging. Yeah, it never seems to get any easier, but I live for the challenge, and to me, I love the format of just getting up in the morning and starting to run, and running until 2, 3, 4 in the morning, bedding down for a couple hours, and getting up the next day, and just repeating the process, and then and running to the start of a marathon, running a pretty hard marathon, and then continuing down the coast.
Good deal. And then, so you ran 350 miles in 80 hours. So what was going on with that? I mean, was that your most challenging race, you think?
I think that was definitely the most overall challenging, both physically and psychologically. And, that, like you said, that was 82 hours of continuous running. And it was a mental thing as much as a physical thing. And it was something that I don't think I'll ever repeat. I mean, I was saying that I thought maybe a human could run 500 miles nonstop. And after 350 miles, I don't think I could take another step. So I revised that statement downward.
Good deal. I know someone, actually, who's training to run across the country. And they're figuring they get to do roughly around 50 miles a day. And I was just curious in terms of what do you think is possible for you to do or consistently do day after day in an event like that? Or what have you done? So I guess two-part question such as that.
Well, I think that, depending on the route you take, if it's flat, depending on the time of the year, if it's hot or humid, you could definitely average 50, 60 miles a day, no problem, day after day. I once ran across the country in the late fall, so we didn't have as much daylight as I wanted. And I was averaging, I think between 50 and 60 miles a day. And it's not that tough. And, well, I shouldn't say it's not that tough. It's really tough. But if you just stop and then resume running right where you stopped, I think it's doable. With the 50 marathons that I did, it was in all of the 50 U.S. states. And the biggest problem was that, especially in the western states, I'd run a marathon, then I'd have to get in a bus and, drive 10, 12 hours sometimes to the next state. And just sitting idle like that for so long after running a 3-4-hour marathon, that was worse than the actual running.
Yeah. What do you do to recover from events like that? And long races that you've done?
I'm a strong believer in ice baths. I think that ice baths are just, kind of the miracle tonic. So I definitely try to take an ice bath when I can. And I also, I believe in omega-3 fatty acids. So I eat a lot of wild Pacific salmon. I think that the omega-3s are really, really good for recovery.
Cool, man, cool. We got a few people actually on the webcast here asking a few questions. You want to take a few questions from them?
Yeah, that'd be great. Sure.
Okay, cool. We got Jason from Texas, and he says, you have run many ultra-distance races, swam the San Francisco Bay, and cross-train on the bike. Any other plans to enter an Ironman? Because we got a lot of triathletes on here, so that's probably why he's asking that. Or even a longer endurance adventure race.
Yeah, I've done Ironman distance triathlons before. I've never done Kona. I mean, Kona's on my proverbial life list. they actually gave me an entry last year, a celebrity entry. I'm like, no, I cannot accept a quote unquote celebrity entry. For one, I'm not a celebrity, and two, my friends would give me so much shit if I did that. So I'm going to go out and legitimately qualify. I mean, I got to, it'd be like me doing Boston without qualifying first. There's no way. So I want to do Kona. I mean, that's on my life list. I also want to do Ultraman. And, I've done a fair amount of adventure racing, so expedition length adventure racing, which is multi-day racing format and multi-discipline format, as well as, the desert series I did, those races like Marathon de Sables. Those are six-day self-supported races, so those are a little bit different than just traditional ultra running. And, you know, I've mixed it up, too. I've done some kind of really fun things. I mean, one time I ran from San Diego up to Long Beach, so I ran 95 miles, and then I hopped in a kayak with Robin Benicasio, a pretty renowned adventure racer, and we paddled to Catalina from Long Beach. So we did about a 30-mile open ocean paddle, and then we got out of the kayaks, and I ran the Catalina Marathon. So that was, you know, that kind of mixed it up. And I really dig things like that. I really dig, you know, all elements of endurance. So beyond, you know, just purely ultra running.
Wow. Was that pretty challenging doing that?
Yeah, I'll tell you, bro. I mean, after running 95 miles to sit, you know, in a kayak, you know, with your legs locked in, you know what it's like. You're sitting in one position for 8 hours. Oh, I thought I had rigor mortis, man. That was so brutal.
And then you ran the marathon. Did you get right out of the kayak and just run then the marathon?
No, I mean, it got even better. I got out of the kayak and then I went to the marathon expo and did like a talk. drooling on myself, trying to give a talk, did a talk, and then I slept for a couple hours and then ran the marathon, which started the next morning.
Yeah, and that time you were fully revived, right?
Wow, it was fresh, yeah. Spring.
Good to go. All right. Andrew here from Power Cranks in San Francisco. Good man. We like him. He's been very good to me. He says,
I know Power Cranks.
Oh, good deal. Do you use them?
Those guys, great product.
Awesome. What's been your experience with them?
is this a plug for these guys? If they're good guys, it's been a positive experience. I'll have to hit them up for some samples.
Good deal. All right. So what's the worst race you've ever done, and why?
You know, it's funny. The media, you know, as much coverage as I've got, they always talk about these, you know, incredible things I've done. You know, I won the world's toughest foot race, this 135-mile run across Death Valley, and, you know, I ran 350 miles nonstop and blah, 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 blah. What they never focus on is these spectacular failures I've had. And I think those are almost, to me, you know, you learn a lot more from your failures than you do your successes. So I've had some really horrible runs, and I think one of them on the top of my list is this thing called the Leadville Trail 100-mile endurance run, and it's in a place called Leadville, Colorado. It's 100 miles, and it's when you start in Leadville, you're just on this flat plateau, and you think, oh, you know, no big deal. Well, this plateau is at, you know, 10,600 feet. And then you go up over Hope Pass, and you climb up to about, I think, about 12.5 on this climb. And I just, you know, flew out there from San Francisco, you know, kind of started running this thing. And I got altitude sickness like you would not believe. And I was just, I was just doing projectile hurling in the middle of the night, just thinking, this is the worst thing you could ever think of. And I ended up finishing, but it was not pretty.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So what are some of the lessons you've learned from those bad races then?
Well, you know, the one thing I've learned is that, you know, you're better than you think you are, and you can go further than you think you can. And, you know, when you're about to DNF, it's kind of this death spiral where you're just thinking, oh, man, I've completely hit the wall. I'm bonking. I've still got, you know, 40 miles in front of me. This is just, it's horrible. And if you just would just slow down for a second, even walk and just back it off and adjust your paradigm and say, okay, it's not going to be my best race ever. You know, I'm not going to win this damn thing, but I'm going to get through the finish line. And if you can just take that moment to regroup and pull it together, you can get through it. And so often, you know, in early races, I would just say, it's over. I mean, I'm done. There's no way I'll make it. And I would just drop out. And now I just say, okay, I've been here before. You know, I think experience matters a lot because you say, I've been this low before, and I've regrouped and got up and finished. And so that's one thing I've learned is just don't give up.
Yeah. Do you think that's a natural wave that you just kind of go through in events like that, or you just hit that wall and, like, it really sucks for a while and then you just kind of snap out of it?
You know, it always sucks for a while. I mean, anyone who's done an Ironman or, you know, even a sprint distance or a limb distance try, I mean, you know that you're going to feel shitty at some point. I mean, there's no mystery there. You know it's going to hurt. it's just sometimes it really hurts. And, you know, when things start going wildly wrong, like you start getting nauseous and you're vomiting, when things like that start happening, then you really start questioning, wow, it's getting bad. And that's, you know, that's when you really need to look inside and say, what am I made of? You know, can I pull this off? And I think that, you know, once you do it, you prove to yourself, I can do this.
Good deal. All right. And Carrie in Seattle asks, how do you keep from getting injured? Have you ever been injured? And if so, how do you mentally deal with not being able to run?
I'm knocking on the side of my head right now. I'm knocking on wood because I've, you know, thankfully I've never suffered an injury. And I shouldn't say that because I'll just, you know, probably walk out of this this podcast and break my ankle walking down the stairs or something. But
oh, dude, don't say that.
I shouldn't say that. No, but I've been very fortunate. I mean, I've got good biomechanics. Like my alignment is really good, and you know I'm lucky there. I mean, it's nothing I've trained for. They say one of the best things you can do as an endurance athlete is choose your parents well. So, you know, heredity plays a role, and I won't deny that, you know, the good biomechanics help. But I think also, you know, the cross-training that I do and having strong quadricep muscles, as well as having, you know, kind of a more developed upper body. You know, when you look at a lot of these runners, less so triathletes. Triathletes seem to be much more overall fit because of the swimming. But if you look at a lot of these, you know, just runners, especially the marathon runners, I mean, they just do not have anything going on upstairs. I mean, their upper bodies are really, really underdeveloped. And, you know, through surfing, through windsurfing, through rock climbing, through some of the other activities I do, my upper body is pretty strong. And I think, you know, it slows you down. I mean, let's face it, muscle is slow. It requires more blood flow to service muscle. But I think in the end, it really helps with injury prevention.
Good deal. Awesome. All right. And Andrew, again, with Power Cranks, asks, he says, you speak a lot of the mental thing. What tricks do you use to stay focused during your races?
Well, I think, you know, again, I'll go back to the concept of baby steps, of just being in the moment. I mean, you know, so often we look beyond where we're at the moment, and we look toward, you know, the mile marker, we look toward our watch, and we start trying to calculate how much further we have to go and our splits and so forth. And, you know, to me, I always watch my splits, but I go back to the very basic baby steps of just really being in the moment and just saying my commitment is to take, you know, my next best step, my next footstep, my next stride is going to be the best it can be. You know, my next crank is going to be the next crank I've got, and just do that over and over again. And instead of, you know, looking out ahead saying, well, I've still got 40 miles left on the ride, and then I've got to hop off and finish the marathon. So really be present, really be in the moment, and really take baby steps. That's kind of the thing I use.
Good deal. How many do you go through a lot of shoes?
I go through about 40 or 50 pairs a year, yeah. I'm sponsored, that helps, yeah.
So that's roughly one a week almost?
Well, I do a lot of wear testing.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, I go through sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll wear just a pair of shoes for, you know, two long trail runs back-to-back, and then they'll be pretty much trashed. And so I'll write up a little report about them and turn them in.
Right. And so basically no break-in time with any of those, huh?
No, I mean, I'm pretty much, I'm really lucky with my biomechanics. I don't pronate or supinate. I'm a very neutral runner. And I'm kind of an out-of-the-box guy. I mean, I can take a pair of shoes out of the box, almost any manufacturer, and start running in them.
Good deal. And do you what's the one piece of equipment or thing that you have to have on your runs? For you personally, just one thing that you like or
gotta admit it,
whatever.
You know, I like my iPod. I like to listen to music on the run. And even more so, I used to love to read. I used to read tons of books. And as an endurance athlete, as you know, I mean, that's one thing that goes. You just don't have as much free time because you're training constantly.
Yeah.
Now what I do is I download books. So on Audible or even iTunes. It's got a great selection of books. I've listened to so many great books when I've been out on long runs or long rides, and it's a great way just to you know, kind of get two things done, to multitask. I mean, you get a great workout, plus you get the enjoyment of listening to a really good story.
Yeah, I actually just started doing the same thing because I was running into the same issue. I'm like, oh, there's so many books I want to read, so I started doing that. Yeah, works pretty good. Good deal. All right, and with that, do you have anything else you want to add to anything that we talked about?
You know, no. I mean, I just want to say that my role, as I see it now, is becoming less about, you know, me trying to go out and do these insane events, which, you know, I mean, let's face it, any triathlete or any, you know, long-distance runner will tell you it's somewhat self-absorbing what we do. But I see my role as kind of transforming in regard to trying to, you know, bring more attention and more light to endurance sports so that more people can make a living doing what they love. And that's really my passion, my mission now is to get additional media attention and money into our sport so that, you know, you could maybe just take this up as a full-time vocation. And more guys that, you know, are trying to be competitive elite athletes can make a go of it on all levels. And that's really where I want to take my career. So, you know, I've got to applaud you for doing what you do, for spreading the word. And I just I encourage anyone listening to do the same. I mean, recruit and, you know, blatantly invite others to join in what we do. And, you know, there's magic in misery, and I think that any triathlete or any long-distance runner can attest to that.
Good deal. And awesome, man. That's awesome. And where can people get your books again?
You know, Amazon is a great place. Barnes & Noble, Borders, a lot of the independent booksellers carry both copies of my book. As well as I have a DVD out. So, you know, you can just, if anyone's interested, they can go to ultramarathonman.com, and there's more information there.
Okay, cool. Awesome, Dean. That's great. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being an inspiration for everyone out there as well, and I appreciate you coming on the call.
Thanks for having me as a guest, and keep going strong.
All right, man.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right. Catch you soon.
Bye-bye. All right, that's all we got tonight, guys. Thanks for coming on the call, and same time, same place next week, and we'll rock it out again. Have a good one.